Well, I think most everybody loves puppies. You know, they're small, they're energetic, they have great big eyes pretty often, they're just plain adorable. But often older dogs don't get as much appreciation. Maybe they don't have quite the energy, or maybe they're a little slower. But today we're going to talk about a new book that celebrates the wonderful quality of senior dogs. The book's title is My Old Dog, Rescued Pets with Remarkable Second Acts. And it was written by Laura LaRue Coffey, and photographs, wonderful photographs by Lori Fusario. And I tell you what, I had a good time reading this book. And it's one of these books you read it and you're like, oh man, I'm so glad things worked out for this, for these people and these dogs. And so we're going to talk with her. We're going to talk with Laura Coffey. She's a longtime writer, editor. She's a producer for Today.com. And Laura, so glad you could have us, you could join us today. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
Oh, it was so much fun to read your book.
Oh, yay. I'm so happy to hear that.
Oh, my goodness me. I really enjoy going through it. And I'm going to admit that I have probably four or five stories yet to go through from the book. But I'm really looking forward to reading them. And I'll probably finish it this afternoon, as a matter of fact. And along with the wonderful photography, I guess start. How did you get this interest in older dogs? Maybe let's start there. Why did you take such an interest?
Well, you know, I have two wonderful older dogs myself, who are right next to me right now as we speak, Frida and Manny, and I love them very, very much, and they're wonderful, and I watch them get sweeter, you know, with each passing day as they age. And then I, you know, I do write for Today.com, the website of the Today Show, and I did a feature story back in 2013 about Lori Fusaro, the book's photographer. She had started a really nice senior dog photography project, trying to change people's perceptions of older shelter animals and encourage people not to overlook the older ones. You know, the puppies get snatched up pretty quickly, but dogs over the age of 6 or 7 can kind of languish in shelters and maybe never get adopted at all. And I saw her photos, and they were so beautiful, and I thought, maybe I'll give her a call and do a story on her, and that's how this all began.
Well, there are so many wonderful stories, and there are a lot of advantages to having an older dog.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Well, you know, I thought right. For one thing, most of them are house trained.
That's a big one.
You don't have to.
For a lot of people, that's huge. Yes.
What else? Talk about you. And you go through this. You cover some of this in your book for sure.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the thing is, puppies are adorable and cute, as you mentioned at the outset here, and they're wonderful. It's just that they are a lot of work, particularly for people with busy lifestyles. It's kind of like having a baby. They need so much training and so much help in the beginning, and it's easy to forget that.
Yeah.
After, you know, a few years go by, but it really is a lot of work to take in a puppy. And an older dog, often there are no surprises. You know how big they are. You know what you're getting. They've kind of grown into their brains, you know, their personalities are more well-formed, and what you see is what you get. And once they get out of a shelter specifically, it ends up being so rewarding and meaningful to help them, because once they decompress a little bit, they're so relieved to be somewhere. They adapt really, really well, and you can bond with them and have this very close relationship with them, just as you would with a dog you've had, you know, since puppyhood. So, and we saw that again and again as we traveled around finding these really great stories of people who took in older shelter dogs. And it was just so happy. It makes you so happy to see a dog feel welcome and safe. And like you said, already being house trained is a great bonus, and they're just calmer, more rambunctious, less rambunctious than puppies. It ends up being a really good fit for a lot of families and individuals.
You know, I kind of liked how you didn't kind of. I did like how you sort of organized the book into different parts. You've got, was it five parts? Five parts, I think.
Right. Yep.
So sort of different stages or different kinds of ways in which older dogs kind of live.
Exactly. Yeah, we, you know, we have a section on, you know, finding the good life. These are dogs who, you know, really had been, and you know, they were not faring well, and they maybe had very, very limited time left at the shelter, and then they got adopted and their lives turned remarkably, you know, better. One of those dogs is actually, some of them even found fame, real fame, like George Clooney's dog, Einstein.
Yeah, it's a great story about him.
Soccer. Yeah, that dog's, you know, trajectory, how that dog's life went was just unbelievable. And we have a section on, I really wanted to include a section on retired working dogs, because I thought that was very relatable for us as humans.
Yeah.
You know, I want to be treated nicely in my later years. You know, maybe when I'm not working anymore, I hope that someone will still value me and treat me nicely. So that section on the retired working dogs is pretty special.
Oh, absolutely. And I like, too, how you end with how you can help with some tips for having a healthy, happy senior pet and teaching the, you know, old dogs can learn new tricks, I think is how you put it in there. And then,
right.
So there's so much in the book. George Clooney's story was it, and the photography in here is great. And there's some really good pictures of Einstein, his dog, and George and Einstein together.
Right.
George has got, looks like George has got a beer in his hand, and Einstein is looking at it.
Exactly, and that is such a moving story because Einstein had been in a very overburdened shelter in California, and you know maybe had hours left to live, maybe a day, and a rescue group called Camp Cocker Rescue took Einstein out of the shelter. He's a black cocker spaniel. He was morbidly obese at the time. He had all these health issues, you know, eye and ear problems and a lot of issues, but they spent a full year rehabilitating him. And then once he had trimmed down and he was in good shape, they made a little YouTube video about him, you know, letting people know about this dog who was now available for adoption and was in better health. Mm-hmm. And they set it to music. And who watches this YouTube video and falls in love with the dog but George Clooney? And then Camp Cocker Rescue had a very detailed application process. They wanted to
70
make sure that,
some questions.
Yeah, there were 70 questions. Yeah, they want to make sure that somebody is very, very serious before they actually, you know, let the dog go, you know, into their care. So who fills out the application in detail and you know, really, really well? But you know, they see the applicant's George Clooney, and then it just goes from there. And the moment when they met is so funny, and the things that happened that first day Einstein was at his house, it's just very, you know, funny, but it makes you so happy. And you see that this dog has such a great, you know, has gone on to have such a great life. So it's, talk about a remarkable second act.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Yeah, and I hate to, I guess I don't, I was really kind of surprised and pleasantly surprised, you know, with the things that George and Clooney admitted after the fact about how nervous he was about actually, you know, really wanting that dog, and the things that he did were really kind of hilarious.
They were funny, exactly. I know he actually said that he rubbed some meatballs from his fridge on his shoes to make the dog run up to him because he had been cautioned that if Einstein wasn't comfortable there and didn't like him, that Einstein couldn't stay. So It was there are other funny details from that day too. It's just that you know really hadn't been shared anywhere. We were so grateful that you know he wanted to participate in the book and you know he and his wife Amal Clooney just took in another shelter dog just maybe a month, 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago. Oh. They took in a Basset Hound named Millie from a California shelter, and so this is something that they do. Once people try this, once people actually have that wonderful experience of adopting a dog who may have run out of options otherwise, it ends up being one of the most meaningful kinds of adoption people can do, and it ends up being pretty life-transforming for a lot of people and helps them have better lives. The people's lives get better and improve.
You know, we got an email comment on just that from Brian in Milwaukee who said, we adopted a 7-year-old flat-coated retriever mix named Bones a few years ago from the Milwaukee County Humane Society. People we meet praise us for rescuing him, But you know what? He's the best dog, and we truly believe that he rescued us. He is beloved in our family, in our neighborhood, and we could not imagine life without him. Isn't
that
wonderful?
That's so nice. That's wonderful. Yeah, it's true. And this is what we kept hearing. Unbelievable. How much people's lives were improved. And you know, that the healing section of the book, sometimes it's about the dog healing from something, but a lot in other instances, it's a person who was really profoundly helped to get through, you know, maybe a difficult life transition by this unexpected source, this little older dog who came into their lives and made their lives better and helped them through something. You know, there's a story of Maddie who helped that 75-year-old widow who was really struggling after she lost her husband. She could not, and she was an upbeat, positive person, but she could not pull herself out of depression and anxiety when she was alone in this quiet house. And one thing led to another. Yeah, and Maddie did it for her. Maddie helped her. It didn't magically make everything better by any means, but
it helped. It helped a lot. And you know what? We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back with more stories with our guests. You stay with us. Well, if you love dogs, you know what a joy they can bring to your life. And whether it's a newborn pup or a dog that's been around for some time, they all seem to touch a special place in many hearts, maybe yours. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And really great to have our guest, Laura Coffey, with us. There's a new book. It's her book called My Old Dog, Rescued Pets with Remarkable Second Acts, written by Laura and photographs by Laurie Fusaro, shares the beauty and wonderful qualities of senior dogs. Laura is a longtime writer, editor, producer for Today.com. And again, Laura, thank you for spending time with us today. Really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you very much. It's so much fun to talk about dogs.
It is, isn't it? And you know what?
Absolutely.
Oh, and there's so many wonderful stories in your book. By the way, I want to give our listeners a chance to join in. You may have an experience with an old dog. What do you love about your senior dog? What's your experience been like? Love to hear about it. Or maybe you have some questions for Laura about living with an old dog or an older dog. Or adopting one, what were some of the things involved with it? Call us at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or go to our Facebook page. Maybe you've got an old dog photo. We'd love to see a photo of your old dog on our Facebook page. Just go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page and you can get it right there. Oh, man. David and Slinger has a comment, so let's just go right there to David. Thank you for calling, David.
Sure. Thank you for your show. This isn't necessarily an old dog, but when you were talking about the lady with the depression after her husband died and she got a dog and that helped, our daughter has trouble sleeping a lot, and the doctor prescribed melatonin and different things, and nothing helped until we got a dog. And the dog sleeps with her. She sleeps great. And I'm also a doctor, and I have prescribed dogs for kids that have trouble sleeping. I just think it's a great thing.
Oh,
that's wonderful.
Isn't that a great story? Thank you, David. Laura, what a wonderful story.
That is a wonderful story. And that is something that the woman who adopted the little dog, Maddie, said, that she was able to sleep through the night again once she had that little dog. Interestingly, they're both named Maddie. Madeline or Maddie adopted a little dog named Maddie. So M&M, Maddie and Maddie together, they're a team. And that dog helped her sleep through the night, helped her get out of her house because she started walking the dog. She otherwise wasn't really getting out enough, and she wasn't, her older children did not live near her, but they could tell that their mom really wasn't, taking the best care of herself because she could not pull herself out of that depression. But then once she started walking that dog and getting outside, then it made her, the dog was like a little people magnet and helped her connect with her neighbors. She made friends in the neighborhood. One of the neighbors invited her on a day cruise. She made more friends that way, and one thing led to another. And so getting that dog was the turning point for her to start living again. And by the time we catch up with her in the book, she's gone on. She's taking line dancing classes. She's volunteering at a women's jail. She sees a personal trainer once a week, and she's really living life again in a way that she absolutely was not until she took the dog in.
That's such a great story. And there are a lot of good stories in your book about how these older dogs help people in a variety of circumstances, be it Alzheimer's, be it somebody who had had a military person who'd had a terrible time as a guy who had to try and find live mines in fields, and how those dogs helped their health.
Oh yeah, it was amazing. Some of those stories were they were very, very moving. And it was really important to share them, though. You know, the veteran with PTSD, he was helped so much, but when he was finally able, it took a lot of logistics, but when he was finally able to be reunited with his military dog from Afghanistan, he, again, much like the widow, for him, it was a turning point. It was the beginning of starting to live again. He was having a very difficult time readjusting to life back home, civilian life back home, after serving in Afghanistan, and had a lot of difficult challenges ahead of him. But then getting his dog back, he was one of the big things. Just as the caller just mentioned, he was able to start sleeping again. It's a big deal to be able to sleep through the night and not feel, you know, so lonely. When you're in a situation like that and you feel like people can't really understand you or relate to you and you have a difficult time relating to others, a dog, it makes such a great friend. They don't say anything. But there they are. They're tuned into you. They care about you. They're, you know, and an older dog in particular is kind of really focused on you. You know, puppies, again, are great, but they're you know, full of all that energy, and they want to play, and they want to destroy property. but an older dog is just, you know, they want to be with you.
Yeah.
And that can be a very healing thing.
You know, Kathy in West Bend has a comment. I want to go to her. Kathy, thank you for calling. And what's your comment?
Well, we had a dog named Maxie, who frankly may not have been always the best dog, but I truly believe she saved my child's life. And as far as I'm concerned, she's got a place in our history. We had to put down an older dog, and went to a humane society to get a puppy replacement. Well, they didn't have a puppy replacement that we felt mixed. And as we were going out the door, there was a man coming in with an older German Shepherd on a leash. He couldn't keep it. It had been his father's dog, and the dog was going to be put down. So we said, oh, sure, we'll take this dog, not knowing her from anywhere. And he said, by the way, she's bilingual. My dad used to speak with her in German. I said, okay. So we brought home this dog, and she became part of the family, just a very good-natured, you'd never expect anything of this dog in terms of defense. She would lick you to death. in fact, one of the kids next door, whose mother was terrified of dogs, said something when his mother came out on a porch and saw the big German Shepherd standing next to her little boy. He says, oh, don't worry, Mom, she's a grandma dog. So, you know, she was not that kind of dog. We went to our vacation home up north, and the man next door had several pit bulls, all of whom were very well behaved except for one. And my children were warned, never go near that dog. It was tied up. Don't ever go there. And, of course, Maxie would be sitting out in the sun ignoring everybody. Well, I was up at the cabin with my children alone. They were preschoolers. And the pit bull got off her chain and came over to our yard. And I was standing on my porch of the cabin. The kids were going to get in the car because we were heading home. And this pit bull was between them. There was no way. And I knew this was a particularly vicious pit bull. I let out a yelp. Maxie woke up and went charging after the pit bull. I have never seen a dog fight of that type. And finally, I was able to get the pit bull away thanks to concrete blocks and other things. I thought Maxie was going to be dead, but she just had a very chewed-off ear. She looked like a, you know, something extremely gallant afterwards. You'd think she had had a scar from the German First War, you know, and she did answer in German, so she just looked like a little old, you know, Helmut or something.
But there's a story about an older dog, Laura, that has plenty of gumption too.
Right, and is very, very loyal. A loyal, trustworthy friend who will be there for you and will you know want to protect the people that the dog loves, right?
Yeah, and I wanted to say a word about pit bulls because you've got a wonderful story, and I think as Kathy was saying, not all pit bulls are vicious dogs. And you have a wonderful story about at least one about pit bulls that are such nice. Was such a nice dog.
There are actually several in the book. Lori,
yeah.
The photographer, has some unbelievably sweet dogs and just good-natured, happy dogs. And, you know, that part of the story that you just shared, I mean, what went through my mind is that, you know, a dog being chained, even regardless of breed, that is, you know, that can be very, very difficult on a dog to be, you know, chained up in a yard or anything like that. And that can bring out some, you know, behavioral problems regardless of you know, breed. And it's just a difficult situation. But again, there are also, you know, there are nice things about. I'm happy that the dog, you know, kept your family safe and all of that, and your dog. And we did have, you know, an example. There's a dog named Healy in the book who had been chained to a pole, had been really terribly treated. It's one of the sadder cases. This book is a very happy book. I mean, I really, really, really want to stress that my old dog, you know, you read the stories, every single story is sort of like a feel-good movie. You know, there's nothing that you need to turn away from because it's sad or disturbing or like that. But we did want to have, you know, because unfortunately there can be these situations where animals aren't treated well, we included the story of Healy, who was a pit bull in Roanoke, Virginia, who got rescued by this couple and he did need a lot of help. He didn't trust anyone. He was also blind. He had been very badly mistreated, but this couple worked with him and they were very patient with him. They hand fed him and then got him to kind of calm down, and they took him on long walks, and he just sort of mellowed out and realized he was somewhere safe and where he was really truly welcome. And he turned into this little love bug. He turned into this affectionate, happy, happy dog. And it just goes to show that even dogs who have been through something terrible, you know, puppy mill survivors, you know, all of these types of situations that are distressing to hear about, even those dogs can adapt and come around once they're treated well. And they just move forward. They don't dwell. They're not, you know, like us, you know, where we may dwell on the past. And they live in the present, and they are happy, you know, once they know that they're somewhere safe and they've been treated well and they've gotten the support and the care that they need. So even the Healy example goes to show that things can turn around remarkably well for dogs, even if they have had the distressing backgrounds. And many shelter dogs have nothing like that. They just ended up in a shelter because something happened, some life upheaval on the part of their human owner, and the human was no longer able to keep that dog, and the dog doesn't understand why it's in a shelter. You know, so there shouldn't be that stigma about shelter dogs. Often they're there through no fault of their own, nothing they did. And you can find amazing companions and friends there.
you look at the photos of these dogs in your book, and they all look like, well, this is a wonderful dog that anybody would want.
Exactly.
And they're sheltered. You know, we had a listener wondered if, actually she said, I want to give a dog book to my sister, who is a very sensitive dog lover. Would you recommend this book, or would it make her sad?
It would not make her sad.
No, it would not make her sad.
It makes you so happy and relieved for everyone involved, the person and the dog.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The photos, I mean, I just opened up the book to a page, And it's a story about, let's see, what's the name of the dog? It's the cutest little dog, Maddie.
That's Maddie.
That's Maddie. Yeah,
that's
we
Maddie.
Were just talking about Maddie. Well,
right?
That is the cutest dog. Good grief. You, anyway, I'll tell you what, that for that listener, do not... Please go right ahead and purchase this particular book. If you'd like to purchase a book about dogs that would make your sister smile, I can't imagine that not being the case. That's at least my my view of it, and Laura's too.
Well, right, and it's really, this is a celebratory book. It's not sappy or schmarmy or anything. It's,
no,
it's full of life, and the photos capture the dog's personalities, and you see these happy, happy people with these dogs who made their lives so much better, and it just makes you very grateful that there are people out there like that, and that these dogs ended up in a good place.
Oh, you should go to my Facebook page when you get a chance, Laura, because Carolyn has posted a photo of Chasey, 12 years old, and her best friend with the little Daisy lay on her. On her head, and Brian sent one of his dog Bones as well. So those are some really cool pictures. Thanks for sending them. Mark in New London has a comment. Mark, hi. Thanks for calling. Appreciate your call.
Hi, you're welcome. This is timely. We adopted an 8-year-old Australian Shepherd from our rescue service, Catkins Rescue, up in Park Falls about a year and a half ago, and she had been in a puppy mill for her first 8 years of her life, being the main provider for Australian Shepherd puppies. And there were 69 dogs that they rescued. She was the last one that hadn't been adopted, primarily because of her age and so forth. And we found out about her through a web page by Hannah Stonehouse Hudson. Hannah's a famous photographer. If you remember the photographer,
I know her. I know her.
Oh, you know her, Laura?
Yes. She took the photo of the dog floating.
Yeah, Shep and John.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. And I wrote the story about that.
Did you?
Yes, for today.com. I did.
Well, and photography is one of my hobbies, and so I'm looking at her photos, and she has this blog about this dog at Catkins. And I said to my wife, we have to go get that dog. And we drove 3 hours the next day or 2 days later up there to do a meet and greet. And we brought her home. And she walked into the house and she looked at our couch and she looked at me. And I said, yeah, that's yours. You can go ahead and go up there. And that's where she's been ever since. And she's just the most awesome dog. She is so smart. And what you said about them not having memories, I would agree with you. Every once in a while, she displays a little bit of fear about certain motions. Look like somebody hit her in the face a number of times. She's got some broken teeth and that. But other than that, of all the dogs we've had for over 30 years, she's just the best. And Hannah goes around and works with other rescue services and humane societies and donates her time to take pictures and help post pictures of these animals on their website so these dogs can get adopted. And that's just a fantastic thing that she does. Larry, if you can get her on the show sometime, you should do it.
That is great.
Oh, Mark, thank you so much for that. I appreciate it very much. You have, I think we mentioned this earlier, in the show, but just to go back to it, along with all these wonderful stories, you have information in the back about how to get in touch with, well, first how to work with an old dog, older dog,
right.
But then how to find one, and then services that are available.
Exactly. So that really surprised me. It was very encouraging and very hope-inspiring, actually, as I was working on this book, to realize just how big the senior dog rescue movement is across North America and also in other countries around the world. And so, you know, we worked, I really worked pretty hard to build this very extensive resource guide in the back of the book, state by state. So people, regardless of where they live, they can tap into this, get involved with local rescue groups that are doing things specifically to help senior dogs. Some states don't have groups, but many do. And many parts of Canada do, and then England and, you know, Australia, New Zealand. I mean, it was really something just to see how this has really caught on. This is a kind of a niche area of the dog rescue world that didn't really exist about a decade ago. There were some little efforts that started on behalf of older shelter animals in the late 90s, but very, very sporadic and small. And then it just started to catch on, you know, around 2004, 2005, and from then on. And it's because people are realizing that these dogs are so wonderful, and they fit right into your lifestyle so easily. And it's what sad to have them just be overlooked and left at a shelter and maybe never get out. And so now there are so many wonderful programs, and a lot of them are really innovative. Some even help with the veterinary costs for the rest of the dog's lives. Some are Seniors for Seniors programs that will match kind of energy levels and make a dog available, no adoption fee, lots of gear provided, dog beds and leashes and collars and food and all sorts of things to set someone up for success to maybe take a dog in for the first time and get that companionship. And so it's really so wonderful just to see how much is happening for these little, you know, furry friends who need a place to go.
Oh, and it must have been so much fun. I know we've got about a minute or so left, but it must have been so much fun to travel around with Lori.
Oh, right.
And just visit all these places and see all these wonderful stories.
Exactly. And, you know, it was very important to us. We wanted to eyewitness everything and see everything ourselves. So we did. We did multiple road trips around the country and traveled and met the best people. I just want to hug all these people and stay in touch with them, you know, for the rest of my life, because just very big-hearted, emotionally generous people who, you know, in some cases, you didn't expect anything huge in return, took in an older dog, and then they paid huge dividends in their own lives and made their lives so much better. And so that was so rewarding and meaningful to meet those people. And then we wanted every story, too, to be very different, so they're not repetitive. So that was another thing, you know, that each story comes at it from a different angle, but the common thread is that this was one of the best things these people ever did.
Well, it
helped them heal.
Well, Laura, it has been a real pleasure. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. I really appreciate it. I loved your book. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Laura Coffey, longtime writer, editor, producer for Today.com, and author of the book, My Old Dog, Rescued Pets with Remarkable Second Acts. She also has a blog, too. You can go to lauraatcoffee.com to see her blog, too. But take a look at that book. I think you're going to have a lot of fun looking through it. Tomorrow at 11, we'll get an update on insects, no less, at this time of the year. We'll learn about kissing bugs, among other things. You stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network.
Santa Claus stops by the Larry Miller Show. Steve Meisner's Polka Band plays the What Do You Know holiday party. And NPR hosts share stories of the season on Tinsel Tales. Enjoy these and more seasonal programs now through the new year on Wisconsin Public Radio. Find a complete schedule at wpr.org/holidays.
Support for WPR comes from Oakwood Village Rehabilitation Services at University Woods on Madison's west side and Prairie Ridge on the east side. Both campuses support patients with dedicated and talented staff focused on achieving a complete recovery. Support also comes from Nutsy Mutts and Crazy Cats, a locally owned natural pet product store with two locations in Madison, providing holistic and eco-friendly supplies with home delivery service. Information at NutsyMutts.com.